Amen. Greetings to each one this morning. We are thankful to be here with each one, wishing you all God's richest blessings. Presence here. Thank you, Brother Greg, for those aimless thoughts that you said. I think appreciate it somehow, even though you may feel they were aimless, somehow they seem to lay a foundation for some of what I have on my heart this morning. I feel my deep need of God's clear direction to try to communicate some of my burden here this morning. So it can be a blessing. Why don't we just stand, have a word of prayer. Father, it is with great joy and gratitude we bow our hearts, our lives, everything about us to one that is beyond our understanding. Yet we live and thrive by your presence here with us. We thank you for being ever so close to us. We thank you for caring ever so deeply. And we thank you for being a father to us, as Brother Greg has just shared. Father, my prayer is that somehow you'll take all the wanderings and the thoughts and the burdens of my heart and help something clear and something that encourages and energizes and something that enthuses your people and feeds their soul. You know, Father, I understand how impossible that is for me to do, so I am looking to you and thankful that you're more than willing. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, and we just look to you. In your worthy name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning I would like to talk about something that God has given us as believers and that we have here as a church that is very precious. And it's something very simple, and it's something that we may not give a lot of thought to, but it's the freedom that we have to serve God. You know, the church is different than many institutions in the world. And I'm sure most of us have picked up the mindset that some people have about the church. It seems like some years ago, I just remember being told, and many times we're told, well, the church allows them to do that. The church should make them stop. The church should do this, and the church should do that. And dear brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God seems to only work when we voluntarily choose to serve God, to serve one another in love. I do think that it's important that the Church of God is not institutionalized, and that there's not programs, and that there's not that we don't become this human organism that can take other humans and change them and transform them into what we think they should be. I feel like it's important that we give some thought and consideration to what is within us that is motivating us. What is it that is motivating us to do the things that we do? Today I'd like to give some thought to that. And I would like to convey some of the importance of that when it comes to
the generations after us when it comes to the church being faithful in the years to come. It's important that the love of God within us that is motivating us, our respect for Him and all of the things that go with it, it's important that that continues to grow and get stronger. There's many things that could be said in that light. Willful, deliberate servants, intentional, freely, willingly, deliberately. There's just many, many different words that could be said to describe it here this morning. But my heart is full of thanksgiving for the measure of that God has put into each one of your lives. And it's a beautiful thing. In our heart is to strengthen that, to deepen that voluntary surrender, that voluntary service, the voluntary the choosing to love God. I don't think there's a power in the universe that can make people do those things. And we as a church do not want to ever attempt or get to the point where we're functioning more like an organization than the kingdom of God. Not sure if that's making any sense to you all. But that is the burden of my heart here this morning. I believe it also puts the church in a place where it's dependent on all its members to exercise and function that way. I do believe it's a wicked thing, or it's an evil thing, to pretend and to act like we agree and like we're part of a group of people when we're not, when we don't agree, and when we're at odds, and when we're doing things that are different than what we know is the heart of God's people. We're distorting God's kingdom into something other than what He designed it to be, and it's a horrible thing. So along with this freedom that we have that we want to talk about, along with this voluntary surrender, service to God, love for God, serving one another, voluntarily keeping God's commandments, voluntarily having godly values, this is the backbone of our life as a church. No one is here that has any way to force any of you to do any of those things. So it's out of deep love. It's out of love in your heart. It's your desires that are making you do those things. And those things are important as we look 50 years ahead. We have many examples in history where the church has taken many measures to preserve itself. Brothers and sisters, that's not God's will. And so it's important that we continue to exercise this voluntary commitment. And with that voluntary commitment, there's also a responsibility that we have. Luke chapter 17, verse 21 teaches us that the kingdom of God is within us. It doesn't come by things that we do on our outside. And yet, when the kingdom of God is within, there's so many scriptures that teach us that it does affect every part of our life. I'm amazed, and there will be many accounts at some of the things that people do, and I don't know what all is in within them that makes them do it, and I don't understand why they do these things. But I thought for a foundation of a little bit of that, so we can build on more of what I opened up, sharing my heart here. There's an account here. And I'm still a bit undecided whether I should just read the account or whether I should just talk about it a little bit. I think maybe I'll just read it here. It says, 30 miles northeast of Sholapur, at Tolapur is a great temple of the goddess Bahawani. And twice in the year the place is thronged by men and women of every grade, who come to pay their vows and sacrifices to the idol. Besides this, at every full moon, long trains of pilgrims may be seen flocking thither. And such is the faith of the people in the healing powers of the goddess, that the sick are resorting there constantly in the vain hope of some relief. The temple at Pandharpur is still more renowned, not to speak of the myriads who go there at the great festivals. Persons make a pilgrimage thither every month from a distance of 50 or 100 miles, and the practice is kept up for many years. One man who had apparently come from a distance, the writer saw near Barsi, making the journey by prostrations, measuring his length upon the ground. It was under the burning sun of noonday, and he was hardly able to proceed, and he seemed the very picture of despair. But a case still more remarkable was that of a man performing the journey by rolling himself upon the ground. We came up with him 2 miles east of Wareg and asked him where he was going and why he was thus torturing himself. He at first did not seem to hear, but at length, stopping, he lay exhausted upon the ground and answered in a faint voice that he was going to Pandharpur. After some further discussions, as the writer demonstrated with him upon the folly of such a course, he raised his head from the ground and, half reclining, said that he had come so far already and he could not desist now. He stated that his village was near Chandapur, 450 miles to the east from there, and that he had spent 15 months on the way thus far, and that he was 40 miles more, and he wished to complete the pilgrimage. He was accustomed to go about a mile each day. He would then note the place where he had stopped, and walking back to the nearest village would remain until the next day, receiving his food from the villagers. Then he would return, and from the place left the previous day would begin his toilsome pilgrimage. If he came to a river that could not be passed in this manner, he would go back a distance equal to this space and roll over the ground a second time. He had for clothing only a coarse cloth boundly tied about his loins and another about his head, and thus almost naked over roads extremely rough and stony, overly exposed to heat and cold, sometimes drenched with rain or covered with mud. For a year and 3 months this poor man had been rolling himself towards the shrine of Vitoba. Yet it was not a sense of sin or a desire for pardon. That induced him to undertake this painful journey. But it was evident upon further conversation that he was urged on by no higher motive than selfish pride. His motives were wrong. His view of God was wrong. But it caused me to just sit back and consider what all it is that is with inside that motivates us, helps us to make the choices we do, and helps us with the things we do, helps us with the conduct and the way we live. And it's all tied to God. We know that had this man had peace in his heart and his life, he would not have had to rule for a year and a half to some idol. And we all know that us ruling all the way from home to church every Sunday would not add to our holiness. But it does show us what we as men can do. And I want to encourage these efforts and these desires to be to continue to be practiced to more godliness, to more we have the freedom that God gives us. I'm not sure if I'm completely making sense in every way here. But I do believe that it is absolutely amazing the capacity that God has put in humans and us and the things that we can accomplish if we're convinced that that is really what we need to do. We have an amazing, there's a lot that we can do. And I just want us to take some of that energy and some of that focus and some of that thought and put it towards preserving and taking and helping to grow the voluntary, the willful, the deliberate, the whosoever, the things that continue to help us get closer to God in that way. It's up to each and every one of us. Now, we talked a little bit about an institution here earlier, and it's a system or a plan of society that's established, a plan or society established either by law or by authority. This is the 1828 Webster's Dictionary definition. It's a plan or society established either by law or by authority of individuals for promoting an object, public or social. We call a college or an academy a literary institution. Now, not all institutions are necessarily wrong. Some of them have their own purposes that they are there to accomplish. I think of the Department of Corrections that we have in our states here. And I think how it controls every area of people's lives. And it's designed to try to make people conform. It's designed to try to break them down. It seems like many times it just establishes deep rebellion in the heart. But once in a while, it seems like there are people that find the Lord Jesus Christ and while they're incarcerated as well. I had to think of an example of we had an employee that we hired that was on house arrest. And he had a pretty good head on his shoulders, and he had a pretty good work ethic, and he hardly ever missed a day. He had an ankle bracelet on his leg, and he was on a strict regimen. He was things were going to get a lot worse for him if he didn't do everything he was to do. Well, here a couple weeks ago on a Monday morning, he came in and he worked about an hour. And the day had came where he was able to be free from this bracelet that was on his ankle. So he left and went and got the bracelet cut off. And as soon as that was cut off, he never came back to work for that whole week and part of another. And then we moved him to a different shift, and he's just completely out doing whatever he wants. Some days he shows up and some days he doesn't. But it's a picture of what was making him do what he was doing. And it wasn't the power of God within. It wasn't the life of God. It wasn't the power of Jesus Christ. He was only conforming to pressure and control. And that's my burden, brothers and sisters, as I think it's important that we don't look at the church as an institution that does that to people, to transform and conform, make them conform and make them do this and make them do that. Instead, I think it's important that we consider the freedom that God has given us, and that we choose to voluntarily, that we choose to grow in that voluntary commitment to Him, and that we cultivate that, and that we that grows in our midst, and especially in my life. I think how we look at God and how we think that God feels about us makes a difference. Our reverence, love, and appreciation for God is important. Let's go on in here to Galatians 5. There's a scripture here. It says, and I know that you all know this scripture, but we're going to share it anyway. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision." It says, but this is what really makes us all work. This is where really, this has been an absolute inspiration to me. Since I have found this truth some years ago, I don't know when, but it's an inspiration. It says, but faith which worketh by love. It's that love of God. When I have a small sense of what He's done for me, when I've experienced His love, it's that love that I have in return to Him that motivates my faith. I'm not sure if I'm completely making sense here. But we could do this little wheel here that I think we've seen before. Maybe I have them backwards. I'm not sure. Faith here. I'm trying to remember at home now as I thought about this which one I was going to put first. And maybe love should be up there. I'm not sure. It probably should. But it's the two. We hear a lot said about faith, and it's true. Faith is definitely important, and it's vital. But if we don't have the love that energizes and propels and the desires and whatnot, faith can just become an abstract thing. You know, like the Catholic Church and some of the Greek churches. This doesn't really fit in here, and that's not really what I was thinking. But it's interesting to me how we'll just go on from that. But love for God. It's that love that we can't help but just, can we love our brother? Can we give anything up we have? Is there any sacrifice too great? Our love for God energizes and makes our faith work and validates our love. I think at home as I studied about, I think I had those two in my mind opposite than what they're on the board, but that's okay. First Thessalonians, in the first chapter, there's a scripture that says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Again, voluntarily living out, living the gospel in humility with a deep heart of love for God. For 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Look, there's, again, just over and over as you take one scripture after another, there's absolutely no way to put pressure on and make people conform to these scriptures. It starts within, with a deep love for God that compels us. And history shows us that somehow when this love for God grows cold, everything quits working the way it properly should. And that's some of my burden for my own life and for us as a church. We want to continue to willfully, deliberately, voluntarily be on fire for God and to love God and to just be as obedient as we can to His Word. Well, the word voluntary, I think this is out of the 1828, it's acting by choice or spontaneously. It's not something you even really have to give much consideration to. When you see someone laying along the road, you stop and you help them. When you see this person that's on his way to hell, you... Oh, brother, you're going to hell. I mean, not brother, but you're going to hell. What? I had this opportunity this last week. We have a young man that does some powder coating for us. And at the end of one day, he came over and he said, "Aiden, I don't think I can go on." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, it's so hot, I just can't take it anymore. And it was on a day where it wasn't even really that warm. And he started talking about going out of the oven, and I started talking to him about hell. I just watched his eyes. I said, "What about hell?" how is way worse than this? And it was just an opportunity. It's, you don't even think, oh, this is something. It's not. You don't think about duty. You don't think about this and that. It's spontaneous. It's part of the definition here for voluntary. It's acting without being influenced or impelled by another, because it's right here within. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, there's quite a few scriptures I have here in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I really feel like these are amazing words. The whosoever, whosoever will, whoever's athirst, whoever wants to, let anyone come that wants to. This is an amazing passage of Scripture that I wanted to make some more thoughts on, but I think we'll keep going. But I just want to say that this Bible is just full of whosoever's, whosoever's. I wanted to bring a bunch of them, whosoever, and it reaches down into the very practical areas of our life. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me, it is just very clear how God made us, and it speaks a lot about God and who God is. He gave us this He gave us this free will, and we can voluntarily choose every moment of every day how we use this. And it's completely backward of this world and its system. This world system is all about control and making you do this. If you're late on something, then you get fined. If you don't do this, you then this is the consequence. And it's all about control. And look at what this says about God. Whosoever will may come. He doesn't use any kind of force besides maybe love in our heart to compel us, to encourage us to live for Him and to die for Him and to be all we can for Him. It's a glorious thing. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, thou shalt give account thereof in the day of judgment. I had to think of that scripture. Romans 14, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. 1 Peter 4, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. I had to think about the two sons in Matthew. The first one said, I will, but afterwards he repented and he went not. And he came, and the second one said likewise. And he said, I go, sir, and went not. No, did I read that wrong? I might have read that wrong. I'm skimming through it here kind of quickly. But which of them did his father's will? I had to think of also in Leviticus. I don't know why I had that scripture in there. I think we're going to keep going. I had some thoughts, but I think we're going to keep going. Leviticus 1:3 is a scripture I want to share here. It says, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. This next part, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. It's something that they were to bring all the way back then on their own voluntary will. It was a voluntary act. And I had to think of how that was also how Christ came and died. He did it voluntarily. So I think we should all be willing as his people to serve him voluntarily. Now, one of the other things examples that I thought to try to bring some more of this out and help us see some of what's within is with a little windmill here. It's a different than a lot of windmills. But, you know, it can be an amazing tool for some things. Looks like the one leg's not going to reach. Stand up here, I guess. Maybe it'll stand on three legs. It can be an amazing tool. But there again, it depends if the wind, which way the wind comes from, it depends on on whether this thing moves or not. It turns and blows with the wind, and when the wind stops, the windmill stops. There's nothing within that is driving this windmill, but it can be a great tool. It can have great purpose. But that is something we can use to examine our own life. The fads of society, it seems like when someone starts doing it, others start doing it. And pretty soon when the others stop doing it, they stop doing it. I had to think some time ago there was this fad moving through where people were taking laundry pouches and eating them, and some of them even died from it. Pretty soon it was starting to be a big thing that people were even scared of. And I'm just asking this question so that we can examine, what is it that is motivating me? Is it the life and power of God that is within? What are the principles that are working within us and causing us to move? Are we motivated by an inward principle of life? Out of a sincere affection and love to God, to walk in all His ways and to keep all His ordinances. I trust that is that way, but I want it to deepen in my own life and I want it to grow. Is that what is motivating us? It needs to be this inward principle of life. It needs to be strengthened and built up and grown in all of us. The inward principle of life, out of sincere affection and love to God and His ordinances. Is your life like a windmill? You kind of do what you see your neighbor or other people doing. Whenever they stop, soon you stop as well. Whenever this comes, soon we do this as well. How much we're living in, I'm not sure if there's been too many societies that have existed before ours that have been as influential with social media and all of those things. It just seems like someone sees someone do a little something and it just spreads and everybody starts doing it, and I don't even know what they are. But we see them here and there on people as we meet people. But it's very influential, and it's important that we have something different within that is motivating us and helping us to voluntarily serve God freely, willfully, willful, deliberate servants of God. Our heart is to strengthen that today, that God would do that for us. I have some scripture here out of James. I think we're going to just keep going here. As my thoughts were that we're made in God's image, we will grow and become more conformed to God's image as we rightly use and exercise our free wills in more godliness. That if we voluntarily choose to do this, we become more and more like God. It's encouraging to me. Had to think of these scriptures here. It talks about the truth sets us free. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. I just think it's important today, and it's very simple, but I'm not sure how you look at God's kingdom, and I'm not sure how you look at the church. There are obviously things that we're accountable for. You know, when someone's conduct falls so far away that there's sin, then God is going to hold us accountable. as his servants to purify the church and to cleanse it. And I'm not sure that I've accurately balanced every aspect of my thoughts here. But I wanted to focus and I want to encourage the voluntary, the willful, the deliberate, the freely, and that in our lives, in our hearts. I wanted to just let you all know how much I appreciate the degree of that that you all have. And I just, hopefully it can grow in my life and all of our lives together. Now, again, just to bring a little bit broader picture to the kingdom of God, the picture, each one of you, picture yourself being accountable for a group of people. And you're accountable for them, and you want them to grow, and you want them to flourish, and you want them to experience every blessing possible. How would you go about to lead them? You know, what would you say to them? Our human tendency would be to try to take control and lay everything out in measures and make sure that, you know, they do all this and this and this. But that's not, even though we have the laws and commands of Christ, we do, and those are important. But I see the kingdom of God as being left up to us individually to all engage ourselves. And I do think that sometimes church leaders are misunderstood. They're looked at as they need to make this and this person do this and this, and they need to make that person change, and they need to do this and that. But really, how would each of you go about watching over, protecting, keeping false beliefs, warning against sin, false teaching? How would you address rebellion, slander, gossip, and evil speaking? The world's institution would just would revert to extreme control and power. But that's not how God's kingdom is to function. We're dependent on each one of you, freely loving and wanting to live a holy, pure life. And once you choose that you don't want to do that, I think it's hypocritical to go on with the church and pretend that that's what you're doing when we're behind our back doing something different. God's kingdom functions differently. We're all responsible to use our freedom to serve Him and others and not ourselves. And we all know all of these things. I think I've shared most of the burden of my heart here, and I may have not quite completely balanced all of it. And I know that I didn't share all the thoughts that I had in my heart as this went through my heart and my mind. But I trust that somehow God brought the things to my mind that were the most important. And I also would like to just bless the mothers that was on my heart to encourage you. I had a couple different examples, and I guess we don't really have the freedom to share those. But I just see the love and care and what all you do to serve your families, and it's amazing what all you do. Just like to close with this scripture, probably here. Trying to think if I've said anything that wasn't clear, or maybe should be balanced a little better. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear." And that is my heart. I know that we have this here, and I'm so thankful for it. But I also know that time and other influences can challenge this, and that's some of my burden as well. And I want to encourage us on in that way, to continue to voluntarily, willingly, deliberately choosing to serve God in the best way we know how. So God's blessings to each of you. We deeply care about each one of you, and we want to see each one of you prosper in every way that you possibly can. So.